Well, it is a good thing that when Jesus departed, he didn't just go up to heaven and say, all the life in me and all the power in me is going away and I'll come back another time. No. He said, I'm gonna build believers, those that'll believe in my name, believe I'm the Son of God, call upon me, surrender their life to me. And he said, my dad in heaven is gonna pour out the Holy Spirit on the believers. Amen. So that the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ could continue in the earth. So everything we see Jesus doing is still continuing today. And how's that happening? It's happening through us, the believers, filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Same spirit, same life, same power, same authority as Jesus. We are the ambassadors, his ambassadors in the earth. We are the one standing in his stead. We are the one bringing the kingdom. We are the ones expressing the kingdom. Come on, we are the ones demonstrating. God in us, but it's us demonstrating the kingdom. Hallelujah. We are the army of the Lord. And you know, one thing I learned about an army is they don't just sit around, in the camp twiddling their thumbs. Man, they're active out and about doing the work. Doing whatever the mission of the army is. Well, hey, we have a mission. We have a mission to go out and seek people, save people, heal people, deliver people. And that's why over the last few weeks, we've been spending some time just trying to help you get equipped. We want you equipped as a member of the army of the Lord. We want you out and about doing the works of Jesus. How many of you know that Jesus went about teaching, preaching, and healing? And so if Jesus was about healing, that means we have an assignment here in the earth as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We have an assignment and we have a privilege and we have a responsibility to heal the sick. Amen. And healing the sick, it includes what many people today would call deliverance. Helping the captives get free, helping people deal with evil spirits, demonic things. Demons can cause sickness in people's body. And we learned last week, that one thing when we recognize that the ailment or the affliction or sickness or whatever in a body is connected with the devil, that we have to do something a little different. We have to cast that out. We don't just pray. We don't just hope. We don't just read our Bible. We have to cast the spirit out. And if we're going to cast the spirit out, we know that it's really, really important to recognize first that the spirit is there. And so last week I talked a lot about recognizing devils and demons and then how to deal with them. If you have your Bible tonight, I want you to turn with me. I just want you to see this. I didn't read this scripture last week, and so I wanted to put this before you. This is Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter 12, verse 28 and 29. This is why it's important, that we can identify when we're dealing with devils in connection with people being sick or having ailments or affliction. So Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, 29, it says, "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." And then verse 29 says, "Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house?" And so we see the necessity of knowing when we are dealing with a demonic influence in the life of someone so that we can go in and bind him, cast him out, and then allow what is necessary of the Lord, the life, the freedom, the healing to come upon that person. Praise God. And so we have to remember that because God has put his spirit in us, and because he has called us as his ambassadors to do his work, that means he's given us the same power and the same authority that Jesus had in the earth. Jesus actually said it. He said, all authority has been given to me in the earth. And then he said, go ye therefore. So the same power and the same authority that was on Jesus is on us. And so we've got to use that. We got to use that power. Listen, when you come up with a devil, what the devil needs is a power encounter. He needs to encounter the Holy Spirit. At that moment, it's only the power of God that can break away that demonic stronghold, that force, that whatever is happening there. It's the power of God that does that. And that's why as believers, we do have to be filled full, maintain a good life with the Word of God and the Spirit of God so that we're full of God, so that when we run up against things, come on, there's enough of God. Come on, there's enough revelation. Come on, there's enough boldness in us at that moment to act upon what we see in front of us. And so I'm setting you up tonight for a few things that I want to talk about. I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about some of the things that we see when we see maybe people don't get free or things don't happen exactly like we think that they should happen. I want to talk about that, but I want to remind you that it's never because God's power is not sufficient. It's never because it's not God's will to get someone free or to get someone healed. Last week, I mentioned a story of Brother Hagin, and I kind of mentioned it in passing, but I want to mention it again tonight. And it was the story of at one time the Lord appeared to him and was having a conversation with him about some things. And he told him, he said, now, when you get in front of somebody, if there's an evil spirit present, he said, you will feel power, you will feel fire jump from hand to hand. You will feel fire that will get in your hands and it will jump from hand to hand. And he said, when you have that happen, that's to let you know that there's an evil spirit present. He said, and in my name, they'll have to go. That's what the Lord told him. And so sometime later, he was in a meeting and he had a man come up that had an ailment in his back. And so he stood in front of the man. And when he got in front of the man, he had fire that jumped from one hand to the other hand. So he knew there was an evil spirit there. And so, you know, he said, in the name of Jesus, go. And then he said, if you can bend over and touch your toes, do it. And the man couldn't. Couldn't do it. Even though he'd said to do it in the name of Jesus, spoke to that spirit. So he said it again. He said, you know, in the name of Jesus, you spoke to the spirit, commanded it to go. And he told the man, you know, if you can bend over and touch toes, do it. And the man couldn't. So he said, all of a sudden, you know, he's thinking to himself, it ain't working. It ain't working. Well, something ain't working. And he did it again. Third time. Third time still didn't work. Man still didn't bend over. And he said, all of a sudden, as he was there and kind of pondering in his heart, see, what was happening was, you know, this is the time when all the thoughts come in. All the doubts. Come on, let's be honest here. You know, does it really work? Is it really true? You know, we start questioning all things. And he said he felt a presence next to him, and it was Jesus. And Jesus said to him, he said, I told you in my name they'd have to go. And he said, well, I know, Lord. I did that, you know, but I said that and it didn't work. And Jesus said, I said that in my name they would have to go. And he said, I know, Lord, I know what you said. I was there when you said, you know, Brother Hagin gets. I know you were there. I know you said it, but I did it, Lord, and it didn't work. So this went on three times, this happened. And finally the Lord said to him, I said it would work. And he got it really quickly, commanded the spirit out, and the man bent over. He said, bend over and touch your toes. And the man bent over and was completely healed. So everybody close your eyes. Now I want you to let the Lord Jesus say this to you. In my name, they will go. I said, in my name, they will go. Okay, and everybody look up at me. We have to be settled on that. That settles it. Now, there are some things that we have to learn about. Who do we minister to? Who really qualifies for us to be able to minister to them and help them? But when you're with the Lord and you know, you have that thing with the Lord, this person is open, I can help them. You must believe, you must know that in His name they will go. That's it. It settles it. Are we confident of that? You know, there was another instance in the Bible where the disciples were trying to cast the spirit out of a young boy, and they couldn't do it. And the Lord Jesus showed up and, of course, got him free. And later the disciples were asking him, you know, what happened here? You know, why couldn't we do it? And the comment that the Lord Jesus made to the disciples was that only through prayer and fasting will this go. And he was talking about not the devil. He was talking about their unbelief. Remember last week I told you sometimes when you get in front of the devil, it's you or the devil, and I mean, it's time to outlast. It's time to know that I know that I know that this is going to work, and I'm not leaving here until I know that it's done. And not according to what I see, but according to the spiritual life that's in me. And so we have to be determined when we're helping people, when we're helping the right people, and we know that we're able to help them, we have to be determined that we're more determined to get them free than the devil is to keep them. You need to put that in your pocket. You need to be more determined to help them get free or healed than the devil is to keep them. Amen? And so we're going to have to get real serious about this and really decide that we're after this. I mean, we are really after getting people healed. We are after helping people get set free. Because if we don't do it, who is? Come on, if we don't do it, who's going to do it? Praise the Lord. So let's talk tonight about, like I said last week, if you haven't heard last week, you need to go back, listen to it. A lot of things that we identified, how to identify devils, how to address them, all these different things. Tonight we're going to talk about a few of the things that we have to consider in ministering to other people. Because what we're talking about here is not primarily you getting yourself healed and you getting yourself well. It's that we're talking about helping other people. And there are some things that we have to consider when helping other people, because there are hidden things, there are things we don't know, there's all kind of things that come into play in helping someone get healed or helping someone get delivered. Amen? So the first thing I want to talk about tonight is that we do have to recognize in discussing whether or not we're going to help someone get free is that we have to address the fact that every person has a free will. Will, W-I-L-L. And this really, to be honest, is one of the most challenging aspects of helping people get free from demonic influence. It's their own will. People have a choice, okay? They must really want to be free in order to get free. You know, it seems odd. We think, well, my gosh, you know, they're dealing with the sickness. They're dealing with the devil. They, you know, why would anyone want to not get free? But there are reasons, really. Things happen for people. Number one, it's a deception. Many people don't really know what's going on with them, and they're happy with their life, the way they're living it, whatever's going on. They're deceived. Many times people will cherish there when they have anger towards someone or resentment towards someone. It's something that they hang on to. It's something that makes them feel justified or makes them feel like, you know, pride sometimes helps people hide their insecurities. And so they're very familiar with their pride and really can't let down their pride. You know, what does God do to the prideful? He resists them. So there's this aspect of being able to humble ourselves before the Lord. Many times people have dealt with things demonically, influences, feelings, things for so long that it's become very familiar to them. Many times that causes people to buy into, this is just the way I am. I've had people tell me that about all kinds of things. Sometimes it might be a work of the flesh, but sometimes it might be a devil. Like having a really bad temper. You know, that can be a work of the flesh, but if you let that go, that can escalate and a devil can get involved. But people will just say, this is how I am. You know, I've always been like this. And they get very anchored to what they identify with. There's sometimes that they enjoy the power that it gives them, the pleasure, some sinful things. It deep down, it gives them pleasure. It gives them pleasure in their body. It gives them pleasure in their soul. And so we have to understand that free will is involved. And this is why not everyone gets free of the devil. This is why we can't walk into any room, even if we identify a devil and it's no one there, we know it's there. It's not necessarily always that we can get it out, because people have a free will. And one of the things that happens, you know, in the free will, and you need to understand this, most people will say, you know, do you want to get well, or do you want to get helped, or do you want to get free? And they'll say yes. But in their soul, something is going to be required. Something is going to have to change. You know, the scripture in James chapter 4, verse 7 says, what does that scripture say? It said, well, the part that we'd be referring to here, it says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And I hear people quote that all the time. You know, well, just resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Yes, he will. But the first part of that scripture is submit to God. And the truth is that some people want to be free. They want to not have the affliction, the feeling, the result, the consequence, but they're not willing to submit their life to the Lord. They're not willing to submit to God. They're not willing to close the door. They're not willing to say, I'm not going to do that. They're not willing to say, I'm going to forgive my mother-in-law who wronged me. Oh, so many. They're not willing to do that. They say they want help. So part of our job in ministering healing to someone, in ministering, helping them to get set free, is we're going to have to really distinguish with the Lord if we feel like we can help them. So the first thing is, are they asking for help? Are they asking for help? Do they really want help? Are they seeking you out help? Not you're chasing them down, trying to tell them you need help. Let me help you. Oh no, that did not get a big enough amen. And that's because everybody in the room, we fall into that trap, whether it's our loved one, you know, our child, our friend, our whatever, we see. And so we know we have what's necessary to help them. But listen, I want to tell you point blank, honestly, when the Bible says that we partake of the sufferings of the Lord, this is what he's referring to. That we do know that there's power and authority and help for everybody in any situation. But Jesus many times had to sit back. Many times he walked through the crowd of people that were sick. Many times he walked through a crowd of people that were afflicted and oppressed and possessed by devils. And did what? He did nothing. Instead, he waited. He waited to those that came to him. And that's what we find today. So when you're really determining about helping someone, you're going to have to really be honest in here about, are they really seeking help? Not that you have convinced them. There's nothing wrong with casting, let's cast some bait out there. Hey, whenever you want to be rid of that, I can help you. God can deliver you. And then you just walk off. But not every day, let me pray for you, let me pray for you. Because many times their heart is not going to be open. Listen, when a heart is not open, the Lord can't do anything. God never violates human will. He never violates a man's free will. He will never do it. Come on, us in this room know the Lord, don't we? And one thing we know is that when do we experience the Lord? When do we connect with him? When do we get something from him? It's when we call upon him. When we ask him. The Lord, as much as he loves you, he'll let you just do your own thing. He'll let you flounder. He'll let you fail. He'll let you fail. He will. He has to. Because he can't get in unless he's invited in. And it's the same way with us as ministers. And so we have to be real honest about this so that sometimes when we're dealing with someone and sometimes we override that. We override that really knowing that I really can't help them. Because we want to help them, because we love them, because we're just hoping that it will work anyway. But many times then it doesn't. And then what it does is it causes us to question. Does the name of Jesus really have the power to bring? No. It'll work! So this is where we have to get very sharp and very sensitive and learn to not override, because this is my opinion. I'm not saying this is in the Bible, but this is my opinion. I would rather not pray for someone knowing that I shouldn't pray for them, even if they want me to pray for them, knowing that they might have their feelings hurt, they might not understand, somebody else might not understand. I'd rather do that than pray for them and it not work. Because now what I just did, if I know and I just crossed that line, now just what I did to them was I caused them to think that there's not sufficient power in the name of Jesus, that there's nothing that can help. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a big deal. I remember the story. I'm going to tell some of Brother Hagin's stories rather than some of mine. How about that? Yeah. But I have. I've had people stand in front of me that I've known. I can't pray for them. I can't help them. They're not open. They can't receive it. Sometimes it's not even that they won't submit to something. It's that they don't know how to open up. You know, many people are closed off. Their spirit is closed. They're just closed off. They're closed off to power. I mean, I've had people that I've gotten in front of before, I can feel power go out of me, and when it gets to them, it stops. Sometimes I have found with the Lord, and I always look to the Lord, because sometimes I've had to just go on by, just pass them up. Just do something one time, no, I'm not going to work. Just go. No explanation, no, just go. Sometimes the Lord will let me teach, see if I can teach them in a moment about opening up. You know, okay, I want you to open up, you know, and try to help them. And sometimes I can do that and then get power in them. But we have to be honest about this. I remember one time Brother Hagin told this story. He got called to the hospital for a man that was in very, very, very bad shape. They thought he was dying. And they asked Brother Hagin to come pray for him. And so Brother Hagin went. I mean, he was, you know, he was full of God, ready to pray for him, going to lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. And he got there and he put his hands on him and he opened his mouth to pray healing. And what came out of his mouth was, "Bless him, Lord." And who knew? He knew that wasn't getting it done. And so he took his hands off of him. And inside himself, he said, "No, Lord, I came. You know, the family's asked me to come. Here's this man. I've come. I'm going to pray. You know, I've come here for healing. I'm going to put my hands on him. The believers lay hands on the sick and the sick recover. I'm going to lay my hands." And he laid his hands to pray, to do whatever in the healing thing. And when he opened his mouth, he said, "Lord, bless him." Took his hands back off. He's working with the Lord. He's talking to the Lord. What's happened? So he does it again. Same thing. Third time he took his hands off, the Lord said to him, he said, "I'm not going to let you pray healing for him." He said, because he's never been able to live straight on the straight and narrow for more than 2 weeks at a time. And so rather than run the risk of him being turned over to the devil and going the way of the devil, I'm going to go ahead and take him home. Now, what do you think Brother Hagin was supposed to do in that moment? He had been brought in by the family to pray healing for this man. But you know what he did? He didn't fake it. He didn't think, I'm concerned about what the family's going to think. You know, I'm concerned. No. He honored what he knew in his heart. And listen, this is where we're going to have to get. Because this whole thing is about being effective. Amen? Are you with me? So we do have to understand and be able to identify, can we help someone? Here's a good reason why. In Matthew 12, if you're still in Matthew 12, look at this scripture with me. Verse 43 through 45, you know, we don't want to try getting devils out of people when people really aren't prepared and they're not going to submit to the Lord. It says this: when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. And then he says, "I will return to my house from which I came." And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. He means empty. And then he goes and he takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and they dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. So what this tells me is that there are people that have devils, that it's better to leave them with that devil, that affliction, then get that devil out and make room for seven more to come back and it'd be worse than it was all before. And that was the situation last week. I talked about the girl from my hometown. Her mother called my sister and they got in touch with me. And she was actually demon-possessed. I mean, she was demon-possessed. She was not saved. And her life was like way over in the crazy, crazy life with the devil. And I remember when she called me, the first thing I did was I thought, I'm going to see if the daughter really wants to get free. I knew I could help her. We can all help them. We have the name and the power and the authority of Jesus. But I had to see, does she really qualify? And so I said to her mother, I said, you tell your daughter to call me. What? I mean, here's somebody, you know, her mother's just beside herself. I mean, her life is just being, this girl just, it's torn apart. You know, she's a teenager. I mean, didn't my heart just say, I'll do whatever to help her? No. My heart felt that way, but that's not what I did. I recognized if I was going to really be able to help her, I had to have proper authority to do so. And so she called me. She called me and she began talking to me and telling me, you know, that the devil shows up and shakes her bed in the middle of the night and things come out of her wall and push her down and, you know, she cuts. And of course, I knew a lot of the story because her mother had already told me, but I wanted her to tell me. You know, when she first called, I didn't say, I've got the answer. I can pray for you. I can make it. I just said, hey, what, you know, tell me what's going on and what you need. And so she asked me, she said, I've been scared to tell people because most people think I'm crazy. You know, they don't really believe in demonic stuff like we do. So they think people are like that are just crazy and they're making it up and, you know, they're just weird. And I said, okay. I said, I'll tell you what I do. I said, I'm going to pray about it and get back with you. Why? Because I knew this scripture. Listen, this girl's life was already being torn apart. I didn't want to open up the door, get the devil out of her when I don't really know what's underneath the underlying part of her life, and then seven devils come back and it'd be worse off than when she started. And so I had to go ask the Lord. And so I prayed about it for a whole week. And finally, sometime during that week, the Lord said this to me. He said, go ahead and minister to her. Because she's possessed, she doesn't really have the choice of choosing to do the right thing, or choosing to open up to me because she's possessed by the devil. So get her free. That's what he told me. And so I went down, met with her, you know, cast the devil out of her. Praise God. And she got free and things were glorious. Praise the Lord. But we do have to make sure that we know with people. You know, another reason that sometimes people can't get free, even though they're telling you they want to get free, is they have wrong beliefs. I mean, they can have all kind of wrong doctrine. Wrong doctrine can mess people up from being able to receive. And it's the truth that sets people free. It's the truth in here that sets people free. So if they've got bad doctrine, you know, here's a really bad doctrine, is when people think that the devil is really bigger and stronger than he really is. And everything is about how big the devil is and how strong the devil is. And, you know, I've had people pray for me and the devil just won't go away. Listen, if you don't get some revelation that God is bigger than that, and sometimes as the minister, it's your job to convince them. Maybe you can convince them of that. But if you can't convince them of that, you're not going to be able to get them free. I mean, when they start telling you, you know, I've had this devil for 14 years, you know, and I've had everybody pray for me and I've been to, you know, that right there is just full of doubt and whatever. And if you don't do something to change that in that moment, I'm talking about a real in here change that, they're not going to be able to get free. So what you might need to do is send them home and say, you know what, you're really going to have to understand that God is greater than the devil. And when you believe that, you call me. And then your job is to go home and pray for them. Pray for them. Pray that the revelation come. Pray that they grasp the understanding that they need. I had this happen to a friend of mine, and she was a wonderful believer, spirit-filled believer. And she got in a church one time, and they started, I don't know exactly what happened, but listen, angels are real, and we don't have a problem with angels, and we don't have a problem with angels manifesting and everything else, but for some reason, she got infatuated with these angels, and it opened up a door for her, and she got, I mean, the devil came in, and she just couldn't get free. I mean, every time you talked to her, it was just, she was so rooted in how that devil made her feel when it would deal with her that I never could get her free. Spirit-filled believer, I never could get her free. I never could convince her. And you know what? Later, she got sick and died. She's in heaven now. I mean, she's in heaven like way before her time. So we're going to have to be honest about can we want to help people, and we look for a green light always, but we have to be honest. Because I'm trying to help you. You know, last week at the end of the thing, somebody asked the question why sometimes it doesn't work or what. Well, here we are. It's not that the name of Jesus doesn't work. It's not that the power doesn't work. It's not that the authority doesn't work. But we do have to understand authority. There are real true lines of authority. I think Pastor Chaz a couple weeks ago told the story about the young kid that he was trying to get well and the mother didn't want it. I mean, parents and children, there's authority. Men and women, husband and wives, there's just all kinds of things that we have to be aware of and make sure that we're not stepping out and trying to do something that we don't have the ability to do. I mentioned last week the story of the guy who kind of went off into something that he didn't have authority to and kind of got his life all messed up. You know, we have to be honest, too, to say that when we're dealing with devils, they are real. They are evil spirits, and they're looking to afflict people. And so when you're dealing with them and they're going to come out of people, guess what? You know what happens when they come out of people? They look for someone else to get in. Now, I'm not saying this is not to make us scared. We don't get scared of that kind of thing. We have protection in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus protects us. The blood of Jesus keeps us. But we have to have a living revelation of the blood of Jesus. We don't just flippantly. I remember one time Pastor Chaz and I, this was at the old, our previous location, we were dealing with the lady one time that had a devil, and I mean, it was very clear she had a devil, and we were both over there dealing with her, and we had two of our male ushers behind her, and all of a sudden, Pastor Chaz and I, you know, we were dealing with that spirit, and I felt it go. Now, I didn't see it. It didn't mess with me, but I knew it. I knew it left. Well, about that time, one of the ushers went like this. And I mean, the minute the lady was gone, he's like, oh my gosh, that it came right up to him. And the one that was next to him came and told me this, that it brushed by him. Praise God that the devil came out. But this stuff is real. And so we're going to have to make sure that in dealing with people that we know who we are, that we know the blood of Jesus. Amen. Take a friend with you if you need to. Don't leave someone hanging if they really need help and you think that you can help them. But this stuff is very serious. But it's also the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And so we can't cower back from it. We just got to run into it head on. Looking to help every single person that we can help. Amen. Then also remember that sometimes when people, you know, we get people free, praise the Lord, we've cast the devil out, but now people are going to have to learn to resist the devil. So there's a difference in casting the devil out of someone or off of someone versus teaching people to resist the devil, okay? Now remember, I'm helping you get equipped for helping people get healed that are dealing with something demonic, or helping people get free, setting the captives free. And so you're going to have to know the difference between casting the devil out and teaching someone to resist the devil. Now, obviously, if you're like in a really busy place with a very short time, you're not going to have maybe a lot of opportunity to teach people to resist the devil. But you do need to sometimes help them with something. Or if they're Christians or someone that you're working with or you have a lot of proximity to or relationship with, you're going to have to talk to them about learning to resist the devil. I mean, I told you last week that I got free of depression years ago, and when depression knocks at my door, I can feel it, and I know how to resist it. I don't let it get on me and then have to try to cast it out again. If we can just resist, but your resisting has to be forceful. It has to be, you have to know by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit has to know that you're believing. So we resist the devil, but again, we've submitted to God. And then we resist the devil, and the devil will flee from us. So we do need to let people know that. We need to let them know that they got free. Okay, hey, listen, I want to tell you this. You got free. Maybe they got free and the healing came and they can feel it. Now, listen, I want to tell you, if you wake up 2 days from now and your pain is back, I want you to know that that's a lie from the pit of hell. Okay, a symptom is only a symptom until you believe it, and then it becomes an illness. Church, I need you to get this. Just like a temptation is only a temptation, It's real, it's there, but it's only a temptation. And it's only a temptation until you act on it. But when you act on it, now it became sin or the act or whatever. It's the same way with sickness. When a symptom comes on you, it's only a symptom. Resist. I'm not taking it. No way. Resist. Don't believe it. Don't think, oh, it didn't work. What do you mean it didn't work? You had 2 days where you didn't have it. But that's our first thought, is that it didn't work. Don't, no. What did the Lord Jesus say to Brother Hagin? He said it would work. What did the Lord say to you? He said it would work. So you resist. You just keep resisting until it ain't there anymore. So we have to teach people to resist and instruct them. And listen, not feel guilty doesn't mean necessarily something is wrong with them. We do have to, when we get free, we do have to be honest. Are there things that we need to address? Are there sins that we need to address? Are there doors that we need to close? Isn't that true? Y'all remember for me, getting free of fear? One thing I found out about myself was scary movies. This is all before I was spirit-filled, knew better. But scary movies were like I could just watch one, like it didn't take but 5 minutes of something that was scary. And that was it. I was going to have nightmares. I was going to have stuff show up. It was just bad. So guess what? When I got revelation and I saw that was an open door, I shut the door. And still today, I don't mess around with that and act like, that's a door. I shut it. Okay? But we do have to realize that the job of the devil is to try to mess with you. And so he's going to come back probably and test you on really what do you believe. Do you really believe it worked? Do you really believe that there's power in the name of Jesus? Do you really believe it? Do you believe it enough to not receive what he's now telling you, the feeling, the thought, the symptom, the whatever it is? Is anybody here with me tonight? We're going to have to do this. And the example I always use is that when Jesus himself, the Son of God, was in the wilderness and he got tempted by the devil. So remember, there's no shame in being tempted. We're all going to be tempted. But after he whipped the devil, it says that the devil left, Luke 4:13, that the devil left until a more opportune time. In other words, I'll be back. I'll be back to see if you really believe it. I'll be back. Okay? So we have to know how to help people realize that just because something shows up a day or two later or a thought or a feeling or whatever, we need to help them learn how to resist. If we're going to help people get free from devils and help people get healed, we're going to have to know the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus. This is another tool you got to put in your belt. I've talked a lot about that tonight. I'm not going to talk anymore, but I do want to just remind you that what the Lord said to Brother Hagin was that in my name, they'll have to go. So we have to know the name of Jesus. And if you remember, I'm just assuming that everybody in here knows me and has read the books and knows the stories. So maybe you need to get caught up if you haven't. If you haven't read my Eliminate the Fear Factor book, you should read it because it will help you. But one thing I learned early on is that the spirit world knows really whether you're believing or not. Because when I used the name of Jesus to a devil that was in front of me, he didn't obey me. Because I was scared. It wasn't until I got the fear out and my faith stood up that he was required to obey me. So I was saying all of the right words. I was saying the name of Jesus. I was using the scripture. So the spirit world knows, and that's why we've got to be confident when we're standing in front of people that we can really help them, because the devil's going to know whether you really believe you can help them or not. So we got to make sure that we have a good revelation of the name of Jesus. And if you're dealing with people, again, that you have a relationship with and can spend some time with, then helping them get a good revelation of the name of Jesus is also important. Amen? So talking about getting people free also, you need to know this, is that don't be moved by what you see or don't see. When it's you versus the devil, it's not about the seen realm. I have walked away from many of people in my heart knowing absolutely that they just got healed or absolutely the devil just left or when I did not see one symptom of it. I've walked away from many people when I did not feel, you know, we're going to talk about the power connection next week, but I've walked away from many of people. As a matter of fact, I've seen some of the greatest miracles that I have truly witnessed with the Lord were when I felt nothing. I just did it based on faith because I absolutely believe it. I absolutely believe it. If the Lord Jesus said it, if the Word says it, that's it. That's it. I believe it. That settles it. It's done. And I'm not going to stand there and look, did they stop crying? You know, sometimes I'll get them to do something or whatever. That's to kind of activate their own faith. But I'm not moved by any of that. You can't be moved by that. So don't be praying for people, you know, and watching them to see. I've had people go down on the floor that I thought to myself, you didn't get what you need. Get up, get up. I've had people get them up off the floor. Get them up, get them up. Get up. Now you stand right here. Because they didn't get what they needed. They sent something of the Lord and they fell on the ground. No, 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 we're here to get a miracle. We're here to get a healing. We're here to get... Don't be moved by what you see or what people do or don't do. We have to do these things by faith. So how do you minister very quickly to someone the minute that you get them free? The first thing that you go after is Jesus in their heart. So you make sure absolutely that they are saved. That is very important because that scripture says that when the devil goes out, he's going to come back and he's going to look, he's going to check out the house. And what we don't want is the house to be empty, meaning God is not there. We want the house to be full. So the first thing to always check is are you a believer? I mean, have you, and I'm not talking about walk down the aisle at the age of 7 because your mama was kicking you from the backside. I mean, this is where you have to get really, really real with people. Tell me, oh yeah, yeah, I know Jesus. What do you know? Oh yeah, I got saved. Oh really, how? I mean, challenge them so that you can make sure that they really do have Jesus in their heart. Then as soon as you know they have Jesus, now you can't force them. You can't force any of this, but you can certainly offer it and you can certainly stress the importance, especially if they just know something happened to them. I mean, when I got that girl that was demon possessed, when I got her free, the first thing I addressed was that she was not saved. And I said, listen, I just want to tell you. Now this is wonderful, but the only hope that you have of living like this free is that you're going to have to give your life to the Lord Jesus. You're going to have to open up your heart. Well, praise the Lord, she got saved. Praise the Lord. Second thing you do is go after getting them filled with the Holy Spirit. We get saved, the seal of the Spirit comes in our heart, but Jesus said there's that subsequent event where the Spirit of God actually comes on us and clothes us with a power that is from on high. Listen, if we're going to have power in the earth to walk free of devils and to help people walk free of devils, they're going to have to know about having the fullness of God's power. So absolutely go after getting them baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if you ask them, do you have the Holy Spirit? They're going to say yes. Then you say, do you speak in tongues? And they'll go. Okay? So help them. She did get gloriously filled with the Holy Spirit, but then we don't stop there because we know what? That really, for people to get free, it's the truth that sets them free. They're going to have to keep their mind renewed. They're going to have to keep their life submitted to God. We know that a Christian's life is not just about a life at home with Jesus in your heart and the Holy Spirit. It's about a life together in the body and the assembly. So you need to talk to them about church, getting in a good Bible believing. I mean, faith filled. I mean, Holy Spirit, tongue talking, devil stomping church. They need that. And you need to be very honest with them. Your life will suffer if you don't get in a good church. And so this is what happened with me with that girl, that teenage girl. I mean, I was constantly working on her about getting her to church. And I didn't even live in the same city as her, but I mean, I was checking on her every week. You know, were you in church this week? Did you go to church? And sometimes she'd go and sometimes she wouldn't go. And, you know, and I'd get on her and I'd doing everything I could to help her recognize that her life, the truth is if you're not in church, You're going to end up not praying in tongues much. You're going to end up, eventually, you're not going to be reading your Bible a whole lot. You're going to know it's there. You're going to know a few things. Well, I'm just going to finish the part of the story so y'all know the truth of what happened with her. So after about 2 years, she, I finally stopped checking on her every week. I mean, I can only do so much. But I felt of the Lord, you know, you do these things with the Lord. You're not assigned to them forever for your whole life, but you do as you feel. Well, after about 2 years, she'd really backed off church, stopped going to church, and then, so that was the first thing, and I knew. And so then she got a boyfriend. Anytime you get a boyfriend or a girlfriend outside of attending church, it is highly suspect. And people around here, they think I'm joking when I find out they've met someone or they're whatever. I say, I bring them. I want to meet them. They think I'm joking, but I'm really not. And I'm like, if they come, I'm going to get up real close to them, and I'm going to, because I'm going to. My niece will tell me, please don't say anything. Please, now listen, I'm going to bring, please don't say anything to them. And I'll be thinking to myself, I'm going to say anything to them, but I'm going to close the door and I'm going to say something to God and I'm going to say something to the devil and we'll take care of it. Okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is this helping you? So what happened with her? She got second thing was she got the boyfriend. Okay. And I didn't know the boyfriend, but I did know that he didn't go to church and I knew this was not going to be good. The next thing I know, between the course of that 2 years when she'd stopped going to church and the course of 3 years, no church, boyfriend, then drugs. Because you get two people, you know, outside, two young people just trying to fill their life up with stuff and looking for something, drugs. And then the last thing was that I knew she started cutting again. And I know she wasn't demon possessed, but I knew that things for her life had taken a turn. Did I feel like I had done? No, I knew I had done what the Lord had told me to do, and she had met the Lord, and she'd had opportunity, and praise the Lord, I knew she was going to go to heaven as long as she just kept believing in Jesus. But what I couldn't guarantee was that how long she was going to live. You know, drug addiction take people out early. Isn't that sad? I hate that devil that comes with that. So we have to be alert about these things and on top of these kind of things. Amen? Let's talk briefly just here for a moment about spiritual warfare. What does the Bible say about it? Just so we can remember that there is a battle that's going on and the battle is in our mind. It's for our thoughts. We do have to take care against being overly demon conscious and giving too much credit to Satan and his works. I said it last week, don't be looking for devils and chasing them down everywhere. But we have to remember that the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, how about that, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So we have to remember when we're talking about spiritual warfare that we have to do it like Jesus did it, okay? Jesus did not go around casting demons out of the air from down out of cities, strongholds. He never did that. He only dealt with people. Jesus always dealt with people. Who is our pattern for healing? Who is our pattern for deliverance? Jesus. We must follow Jesus. I don't care how big of a name. I don't care if they built a ministry on flying around in airplanes and throwing things down. I've been in enough of these meetings for way too many years that it's never finished, it's never done, and it's because it's not the way the Lord does it. So when you're talking about dealing with devils, you're going to have to deal with people directly. Don't think that you can just sit at your house and take down every devil that's over the city of Houston. I'm not saying that there are not spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's not our job to deal with them. Go and study out Daniel chapter 10 when Daniel prayed and the Lord sent him an answer through an angel. And the Bible says that while the angel came to give him an answer, he was intercepted by a devil, a demon that he had to fight with before he could get to Daniel. But if you look at what Daniel did, he never jumped up and began warring or fight. He just stayed in his attitude of faith. And he had prayed to God. He believed that the answer was coming. It was in the upper realm that those things were dealt with, not with humans. This will help you. Because again, I don't like to not be effective. I don't like to be praying for things and doing things and praying for things and doing things. I've been in so many meetings where it happened. Did you feel the shaking, the whatever. You know, and then a year later, I'm in another meeting and we're doing the same thing all over again. I don't do it. I just close my eyes and just go inward. Because it doesn't work. It's not real ministry. All right, lastly here, you cannot cast out the flesh. All right, here we go. You cannot cast out the flesh. There are sins of the flesh, things of the flesh, listed in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. All kinds of things, desires, fornication, gossip, envy, jealousy, ambitions, hatred, all these different kinds of the things that are things of the flesh. And with the flesh, you have to put your flesh under. You can't cast it out. Amen? And I know that's the reason that most people want it to be a devil. So that they can come up front and you use the name of Jesus with power and make that devil go. That's what everybody wants. Nobody wants to have to crucify their flesh. Just the word crucify sounds terrifying. Crucify your flesh. Discipline your flesh. Put your flesh under. Mortify the deeds of the body. Put it down. But it's the truth. We've got to remember that the Lord has provided complete liberty. He wants us to be free. And so we've got to recognize when we're dealing with the devil versus when we're dealing with our flesh. Because if you're dealing with your flesh and you're casting out, nothing's going to happen. And then you're going to be dealing with all this thoughts. But the truth is, we can't let anything have control over us. Nothing gets dominion over you. Nothing. Anything that you feel like, and I'm just going to say it. Should I say it? Well, Lord, that came up, but I don't know that I can say it. They might really throw tomatoes. If you're someone that gets up every morning and has to have coffee, and you cannot go a day without coffee, coffee controls you. It dominates you. And just for the sake of your life, you should crucify your flesh at least occasionally. At least say once a month, I'm going to go for 3 days in a row without coffee. I'm sorry, it's not just coffee. There's lots of stuff that's like that. But the Lord wants us to be really free. And what I have found is if we start letting other things that we think, you know, we justify that. What's just coffee? What's coffee hurt? Coffee doesn't hurt at all. But anything that has control over you does. Just like I say, if you give the devil an inch, he'll think he's a ruler. If you give your flesh an inch, it'll think it's a ruler. So we do have to crucify our flesh. We have to discipline our flesh. Always be on the lookout. If you're one that can't go tonight, can't go to bed at night without cutting on the TV, and you need the TV to sleep to help you, that's control over you. I mean, how free do we want to be? I want to be totally free, don't you? So the goal here is to get our spirit stronger than our flesh, and so fasting, the four-letter F word of Christianity, fast, is key to you keeping your flesh under. And when I say fast, I mean go without. And food is really, really something that we need to do. But certainly fasting, those things that you really like, those really things that you that your heart beats toward, you need to do that. And if you'll fast, when you fast, so here's your spirit and here's your soul, okay, or your flesh. So when you just let your flesh do whatever it wants, it's just like, woo, woo. And guess what? It's over. It's over your spirit. You'll find you're less sensitive. You have less strength, okay? So when you fast, this is your flesh and your soul. When you fast, it starts going like this. But the more you read your Bible, the more you pray in tongues, the more your spirit gets built up. And so I tell people the fastest way to get your spirit over your flesh is to fast and pray. Fast and pray. And then your spirit will be like, la, 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 la. Where are the devils? You know, one thing you have to realize about making sure that you're dealing with things of the flesh is that the devil can get involved in things of your flesh if you don't deal with them, and they can escalate. Like rage or anger, that can start out absolutely as a work of your flesh. But if you give over to that, give over to that, give over to that, you can open the door for a devil to come in with that. And then you'll find yourself, you know, really doing something that's just way beyond what you thought was you. That's why we have to be careful with our flesh. Amen? Is this helping you? So we've talked about the devil. Talked about casting him out. We've talked about resisting the devil. We've talked about identifying the difference between the devil and your flesh. Crucify. Everybody say crucify. Smile when you say it. Crucify the flesh. I found that even when things are difficult, if you'll just do them with a smile, it helps a little bit. Tonight I want to close by doing something that I feel like is of the Lord. And so if everybody can, I want you to grab a piece of paper. You know, one thing that comes with the healing ministry, helping people get healed, helping people get free, delivered, is a really heart's desire in that area. We need to have the love of the Lord toward people, that when we see people, we really have a care and a concern. You know, one thing, it just happens sometimes. We have this wonderful life in God, a wonderful life in Christ, and everything is good for us. Even when things are bad, even when things are a little off, still things are good because we have the Lord, because we know the Lord. And sometimes I think we forget what it's like. We forget what it's like to really be sick or to be afflicted or to be mentally off, or we forget what that's like, and we see somebody and we're like, oh yeah. But I'm talking about really from our heart, how much do we care? How much do we really want to see people get free? How much do we really want people to get healed? So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to spend just a few minutes. I know we're getting there, so it's not going to be that long. But we're going to spend a few minutes cultivating in our heart with the Lord, number one, the desire that we really want people to get healed. That I'm really not okay walking past people everywhere, all the time, in all kinds of shapes, and not even looking my head up and seeing with the Lord if I have something that can help them. I'm not okay with that. That is the world that we live in. It's the pace that we live in. It's the life. So it's not that I'm trying to put condemnation, but we have to cultivate really caring about people enough to be willing to help them, to get past our fears and our insecurities and our feeling like we can't. You might be the only opportunity of a lifeline for somebody. So I want you to write some of these things down. I'm going to say them fairly quickly, but so you know you don't have to like get every single word. But I want you to write some of these down. All right, write these down. Arthritis, epilepsy, E-P-I-L-E-P, okay. Asthma, cancer, autism, deaf, dumb, mute, blindness, chronic illnesses, fibromyalgia, incurable diseases, blood diseases, depression, suicide, mental illness, seizures, tics, cutting, panic attacks, drug and alcohol addictions, bipolar, obsessive OCD or OCB, okay, did y'all get some of those down? Okay, so here's what I just feel like with the Lord is that I want us, how many of you know we are the vehicle for God to work in the earth. We are the vessel. The Bible says that as a righteous man prays, the fervent, effective prayers of the righteous, what? Make tremendous power available. That means if somebody's not praying, then God doesn't have anything to work with. I'd really like to see some people with some of these conditions get well. Maybe you might be the person that the Lord will bring across their path. Maybe you won't, but certainly you could be the one that would pray. Certainly you could be the one that would give God some avenue to get into the life of some of these people and bring someone across their path, bring a revelation, bring whatever it is that people need to get free. And this is how you cultivate. I mean, if you'll really start cultivating with God the fact that you want to see people healed, what'll start happening is the Lord will start giving you a whole bunch more opportunities. And you'll start having power and things work in your life because you're really putting your heart toward. I don't want you to just have all the book knowledge and just have all my stories, all Brother Hagin's stories, all Pastor Chaz's stories, other people's stories. I want you to have your stories. But I'm a firm believer that what we see outwardly is what happens in the spirit, and we must pray into these things. I mean, when is the church going to really have a breakthrough for people that are Alzheimer's is one I didn't mention. Write that down. We the church, need to be able to break through Alzheimer's. So sometimes just praying into something and giving God something to work with. Can we do that? Can we do that for 10 minutes? So we're going to do it individually. I'm not going to lead you, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to go to the Lord, and I want you to just to express from your heart to the Lord your desire to see people healed and set free. And if you feel like you don't have a big desire, then ask the Lord, Lord, give me more compassion. Lord, give me mercy. Lord, pour out your life. Lord, do something in me so that I have a greater, I mean, really get with the Lord and express your desire. And then I want you to listen to the Lord and see, I believe that the Lord is going to point out one or two of these things for you, just one or two of them. And I want you to pray into that. I want you to pray for people. People you don't know. We don't have to know them. We don't have to see them. You might be praying out my next trip in another country, and I might run up against all the people that you prayed out. You might be praying out who Jim runs into at the soccer field. Can we do that?
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.